Good evening, everybody, and thank you all for coming out, and welcome again to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. Thank you for tuning in if you're watching online. Let me go ahead and pray for us. We're getting started a little bit late, and we'll just get right into the message. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity to get up here and share your word, Lord. Share what you've laid on my heart for this week. Lord, I just pray for everybody that is not able to make it in person. The ones that are sick, Lord, I pray that you'd bless them and comfort them in their sickness. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help them to heal quickly so they can get back into fellowship and get back to the things that they would like to be doing. Lord, I just pray that you would open all of our hearts and minds, the ones that are here in person and the ones watching, God. And I just pray that you help us to be open to what you have to say to us. Pray that you help us to receive what you have to say, and I pray that you give us the courage and the power to apply these things to our lives, God, so that we can bear the fruit that I know you want us to bear. And we'll give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, if you were here last week, we talked about our names. Not really our regular names like Wade or Travis or anything like that, but our new names that we get once we surrender our lives to Christ. You know, when we surrender to Christ, we take on not really a new name, but a new identity as Christians. You know, I told you last week, before I surrendered my life to Christ, nobody called me Brother Wade. You know, they just called me Wade. But now that I have surrendered my life to Christ, I do have a new name. You know, I identify myself as a Christian. So we bear the name of God. And last week we talked about living up to our new names and living our lives in a way that lifts up the name of Jesus and brings glory to God. And we talked about, you know, how we shouldn't call ourselves Christians and then go out and live in a way that's harmful to the name of Christ or harmful to the body of Christ. You know, living a way that brings shame on God's holy name. And we read last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 that once we have surrendered our lives to Christ, then we're God's ambassadors here on earth. You know, it's his name that we represent here on earth. And Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us or through us. You know, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. So we represent God once we start identifying ourselves as Christians, and we should live in a way that brings glory to God and brings others to God and bring them into a relationship with him too. You know, once we carry that name, we should live in reverence to God, realizing it's not our name at stake anymore once we call ourselves Christians, but it's his name. In the name of the church that we bear. That's why we talked about, it's in 2 Corinthians 2, chapter 5, verse 17. You know, we're supposed to be the proof of Christ to a lost and dying world. You know, once we have come to Christ, we're supposed to be a new creature, and we're supposed to let our old lives die. And Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And old things are passed away. There should be a noticeable difference in our lives, you know, before and after picture of us. You know, the way we lived before Christ and the difference that he's made in our lives after we came to him. You know, there should be visible evidence of that in the way we talk and the way we treat other people, just in the whole total way that we live. We have to become that new creature through the power of the Holy Spirit and bring glory to God by letting the world see the power of God working in and through our lives and changing us into that new creature that verse is talking about. You know, people, I tell you all the time, they'll rarely believe what you say, but they can't deny the changes in your life. They can't deny your new life that you're living because of Jesus. And we can't take credit for that for ourselves too. You know, Paul says we're not saved by our works. We're not saved by anything that we do. We're saved by grace, by surrendering to Christ. It's Christ in us that makes the difference. So when we do come to Jesus, we can't continue to live like the world does. You know, the world should be able to tell a difference in us and the way we used to be. So we can't live like the world and call ourselves Christians. There has to be that surrender of our will to His will. And then He gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to make the changes that we couldn't make on our own, and to walk and to live in the Spirit instead of living the way we used to and following our old sin nature and being led by our old desires and the lust of the flesh. So that pretty much covers what we talked about last week. So tonight I want to talk about how we can better live up to our new names. You know, it's one thing to say we should live up to our new name as Christians, and we should have reverence for the name of God, and we should do all these things. But I would be failing you if I tell you that and don't give you any kind of instructions on how to do that. So tonight, that's what I want to talk about, how we can live our lives lifting up and glorifying the name of Jesus instead of living in a way, like we talked about last week, tarnishes the reputation of Christ and the church. We read in Proverbs 18 and verse 19 last week, and this is talking about, you know, offending people. Once we come to Christ, we don't want to offend people. It says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. And that's why we have to live our lives in a way that glorifies God. And we talked about how important it is in the eyes of God that we don't take His name in vain, don't claim to be Christians and then, you know, live in a way that offends people. We can't do that. We can't say we're God's people and then go out and treat somebody in a way that turns them against God. So what I want to talk about tonight is how we conduct ourselves when we're going through a hard time ourselves. Because, you know, when everything is going right and everything is going fine and we're not going through any problems at all, then most of us, you know, we don't have a hard time representing God. We do treat people in the way that we should, and we do try to set a good example. But it's when we're struggling, when we're going through a hard time ourselves, that most of the time is when we fall short. It's when life gets hard. That's when we really need to lean into the Holy Spirit and rely on His power to help us represent God and still be the ambassadors that we should be and still bring glory to God and show the power of the name of Jesus during those hard times. That's what people are really watching. You know, I tell you all the time, people are watching you, whether you think they are or whether you think they're not. You know, people are watching you. And when you're going through a battle in your life, people want to see how you handle that. They want to know, is this Jesus you're talking about, is He real, or is that just something that you talk about? So I've chosen some scriptures to share with you tonight so we can learn from. And I've shared with you before, and I'll share with you again real quick. The scriptures are for us to learn. It said, the Bible says that there are examples of what other people, other godly people have been through that we're supposed to learn from. And I'll share these with you. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we can study what the people in the Bible have been through, and we look and see how they handle these situations. And the Bible says there are examples. We're supposed to do these things when we're going through those kinds of trials. And again, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, it says all these things happen to them for examples. And they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And that's talking about our generation. After Christ has risen, that's talking about Christians, the people that have received Christ and received His Holy Spirit. Those things are written for us, and it gives us instruction on how to live. So the scriptures are recorded to learn from and live by. So God gives us examples of what to do and what not to do. So tonight I want to look at some of these examples and how to go through hard times and be able to do so and still bring glory to God in them. I don't think any of us get up in the morning and think, I believe I'm just going to fail miserably at serving God today. You know, I don't think I want to witness. I don't want to bring any glory to God. I'm just going to go out here and live in a way that, you know, just tears everything I've been talking about down. None of us do that on purpose. We just don't do that. What I think that we do is when life takes a turn or things just, you know, unexpectedly blow up in your face, I think it just takes us by surprise. And, sometimes we panic, and panic looks different for all of us. You know, it may be anger. Somebody might say something that you wasn't expecting, and it just makes you mad like that. Or somebody can say something and, you know, you get scared, or you can check your bank account and somebody's stolen all your money. It could be a million different things. But instead of thinking about it, it just takes us by surprise and we just react. You know, we go right back to our emotions and just what comes natural to us. And we jump right in. You know, like I said, whether it's panic or fear or anger or whatever, we just jump right in and forget to bring God along with us. And that's really easy to do. You know, if you don't have your mindset on God and realize I belong to God, then it's easy to just take off running and trying to handle things by yourself. And like I said, we don't do that on purpose. Things just surprise us. So we need to, in the back of our minds, always be ready and prepared for that. We just go right into survival mode. So the first thing that I think we need to do when something happens, especially if it's something unexpected, the first thing we need to do is just stop. You know, don't do anything. Just stop for a minute. You know, Psalm 46 in verse 10, that's one of my favorite verses. It says, just be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That's a good verse to memorize. It's helped me out quite a lot, especially when I first came to Christ, because I had things coming at me from all different kinds of directions. And it really helps when something happens to don't do anything. Just stop for a second and be still and remember God is God. And He will prevail in this. So we need to just be still for a minute. And you don't have to say a long, drawn-out prayer or anything. All you got to do is say, God, I'm going into this situation. I'm going to need your help in it. I really don't know what to do. This happened and I'm confused. I don't know what to do about it. And just invite God into your situation. In Psalm 46:1, I didn't have it in my notes, but it says He is an ever-present help in time of need. So when you're going through something, especially if it's a surprise, just stop for a second, invite God into it with you, and He will give you peace before you even get into that problem. Because then you know God's in it with you. And in doing that, you're submitting to God. You're recognizing God as your authority in your life. And you're just taking that moment to remind yourself, you know, I belong to God. And God is my defender. He's my provider. So we have to remind ourselves of those things. And just reminding yourself of that brings you a lot of peace. It does me. You know, when I just stop for a second and be like, okay, I'm not alone in this. God is with me. You know, His word says He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Just calm down. I'm not going into this, you know, by myself. God is with me. So the first thing we need to do is just stop and recognize God. The first story I want to look at tonight is in Exodus chapter 14. A lot of you may be familiar with it, but I'll give you a little backstory on it before we get into the actual story. It's talking about after Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, they've gone out of Egypt and they get to the Jordan. I mean, not the Jordan, but the Red Sea. And that's where we pick it up. And I'll just read it to you. But anyhow, they're camped on the the bank of the Red Sea, and they hear the Egyptian army coming, and they all start freaking out, and they're telling Moses, why did you bring us out here to get killed? You know, we'd have been better off than Egypt. We told you this would happen. So they do the same thing that we do. You know, they see all these things coming at them, and they forget that God's up there. He just did all those miracles, you know, to get them out of Egypt, all the plagues and all those things and all the signs and the wonders. And they just saw that with their own eyes. But in that moment, they panic and they forget all that. And all they can see is the enemy coming at them. So that's where we're picking up in the story in Exodus 14 and verse 10. It says, and Pharaoh approached the people of Israel. And when they looked up, and they panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. And they cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? You know, Josh was preaching Sunday about being in God's will is the safest place to be. And being in God's will is the most dangerous place to be. It really is. It's both at the same time. If we back up a little bit and read in Exodus 14 verses 1 through 4, God's the one that put them there on the edge of the Red Sea. It says, and then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They're trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. I want you to remember that a little later on in the message. God said, I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. So God put them there. He didn't put them there to put them in danger. He put them there to show the Israelites and the Egyptians that I am God. I am the Lord and I am in charge. So, you know, if you're going through a hard situation, I don't think God brings evil on any of us, but he may be using that situation to teach somebody else about himself. You know, maybe you're in the situation you're in so that people in your life, like I said, people are always watching you. Maybe somebody in your life that don't believe and don't trust God can be an eyewitness to what he's doing in your life and watching him get you through it and watching God move like he said he would. You know, what you're going through might just be the proof that somebody else needs to find the courage to trust God enough to come to him themselves. So it really does. It matters how we go through things. It matters how we conduct ourselves when we're going through a hard time. You know, if we keep on reading in verses 11 and 12, we can see that they completely lost their faith in God, like we talked about, and they started panicking and complaining. And all they're focused on are the Egyptians. We read this one. It says, weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? And why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. So they completely lost their faith. They forgot all about the miracles. They forgot all about the signs and the wonders that God had done for them. And I think we do that too. You know, something will pop up in our lives and we tend to forget everything that God has already done for us in our own past. You know, I know in my life, over and over and over, he's proven himself. You know, then this one little thing will pop up, and that's all we can see. That's when things, you know, that's why when things like that come up, it's so important to just stop, like we just talked about, and say it to yourself, you know. I have to say it to myself all the time. You know, God is still there. God is still with me, and it's going to be okay. We have to submit ourselves to God and just say that little prayer I was talking about earlier and invite God into your situation and trust him, and he'll help you through this. And I love the way Moses puts it in the next two verses. It's his way of saying stop and just be calm. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. See, Moses knew what God was going to do. He told Moses what he was going to do. But the people didn't know that. And the Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. We've got to have that kind of faith. You know, when we're going into a problem in our lives, we got to go into it with faith that God is going to handle this. And this problem, after God takes care of it, I don't have to worry about it anymore. And Moses tells him in verse 14, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. And that's the hardest thing for us to do in the middle of a circumstance, is just stay calm. But that's what God's word says to do. You know, when things pop up, just stay calm. Don't panic. Don't let your emotions send you into action. You know, I know for me, I never wind up doing anything good when I react from my emotions in anger or fear or desperation or whatever it is. So God's word says just stay calm. And we need to do what the Israelites did in the last part of verse 4, or verse 4 that we read earlier. It's to be obedient. In the very last part of that verse, it says the Israelites camped there as they were told. You know, they didn't understand why they were camping there, but they did what they were told. You know, even if we're scared, even if we don't understand, I'm sure they didn't understand, why are we camping here with the army right behind us? But even when we don't understand, or we're scared, or we're angry, all we got to do is just trust God and obey God. You know, if you take the time to stop, like we've been talking about, and submit to God and keep him in his rightful place and remember that he's there as the ultimate authority in our lives, then he'll show you what to do, and he will guide you. He'll show you the next step. All we have to do is obey him. You know, obey the step that he's given me right now. I don't have to understand it. You know, most times the understanding, I've learned, it comes after the obedience, not before. A lot of times God will lay something on my heart that I know for a fact he wants me to do, but I'm trying to figure out, why does he want me to do it before I'm going to do it? I want to figure out what's going to happen after I do this, but that's not what God calls us to do. Most of the time, we can see the why after we're obedient and do what he tells us to do. God wants us to trust him. And sometimes trust means obeying God even when we don't understand. You know, we read it all the time. You know, I quote it to you for weeks and weeks there at one point in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So if we just acknowledge God in everything and trust God, he'll show us what to do. All we have to do is obey him. You know, we say it all the time, God is good. And we tell people all the time that Jesus loves you. But we got to believe that. We got to practice what we preach. We got to believe that in our hearts. You know, when a hard time comes up, and like I said, just comes out of nowhere and smacks you in the face, we have to remember God is good and Jesus loves us. He's not going to abandon you when you need him the most. You know, he's going to show me the right thing to do so that I can get through this in a godly way. We have to trust him. And when we do that, we'll see the glory of God in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. Because, you know, we can't contain the glory of God. If it's in us, it's going to come out of us. And we'll walk through our trials and we'll walk out of them just like the Israelites did. And I like these verses. I like to picture this as us going through our trials. But in verses 29 through 31 of Exodus chapter 14, it's talking about after God delivered them from the Egyptians, got them through the Red Sea on dry land, It says, but the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him, and they put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. So if we just trust God in our problems and the trials that we're going through, eventually we'll be able to see those things that were look so big to us. We'll be able to see them laying there defeated. God will take care of them for us. We just have to trust him and obey him in the middle of it. So we have to stop, we have to trust God, and we have to obey him. The next thing I want to talk about tonight is praise God in the middle of our storms. And a lot of us have a hard time doing that. But it's our praise that keeps us connected to God. It's our praise, and praise can look a lot of different ways. You know, that can mean a group of believers getting together just so you can pour out what you're going through, and they can pray with you. That's praise. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. So if we want God's presence with us in the storm, we praise him, and he'll be there in the storm. But before I get into that, God laid this on my heart today. It wasn't in my message, but I know he wants me to share it with you. Like I said, I don't know who this is for, but if you're not seeing the power of God in your life, maybe there's something God has told you to do and you just hadn't done it yet. You know, I saw that a lot in my own life when I first came to Christ. God would reveal something or lay it on my heart that I needed to do, but I would, you know, it'd be something I didn't want to do, something I didn't want to obey, so I would just ignore it and try to get around it and try to just move on without doing that thing. And God don't let us do that. You know, I never could move on. If God's showing you something that he wants you to deal with, I can say this from experience, you'll be stuck right there until you do that thing. You know, God's not going to let it go. He's not just going to let it slide. You know, most of the time it's something really small, you know. But once you do that thing, then he'll let you move forward. But for me, it was always something really small. And especially if you're, you know, a newcomer, or a new believer in Christ, that's how God starts us off, with something small. And it may seem insignificant to you, but if God's telling you to deal with it, then it's not insignificant to him. He knows you need to do that thing so it'll strengthen your faith and prepare you for the next thing that he has for you. So we have to deal with it, whatever that is, and obey God on whatever that is, and then God will allow you to move forward. I like the way Jesus puts it in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. So you don't have to take my word for it. I'll always give you a scripture to back it up. Jesus says, he that is faithful in that which is least. Like I said, it may seem like something tiny to you, but if it wasn't important to God, he wouldn't put it on your heart that you need to deal with it. So he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. God knows if we're not going to obey even the tiniest things, then we're definitely not going to obey the big things. And he that is unjust or dishonest in the least is also unjust or dishonest in the big things. So God wants us to get used to being obedient to him, even in the small things, so that when big things do pop up and big problems do pop up in our lives, then we'll have enough trust in him by learning through obedience in the small things, that when we get in those hard times and we have to make the big decisions, that we can trust God in those too. But if we're not willing to be obedient in the little things, God's not going to give us anything bigger until we are. Like I said, I don't know who that was for, but it was for somebody. But back to praise. You know, this story I want to share with you about praise. It's in Exodus 2. It's in Exodus chapter 17. And a lot of you probably heard this if you've been in church for a while. I know I call these stories, but I want you to know that these ain't things that God made up just so we could have examples. They're not fables or anything like that. These are actual historic accounts that are recorded so we can learn from them. They're not fables or fiction. They are actual history of God's people. But the first thing I want to notice in this, in Exodus chapter 17, we'll start in verses 8 and 9. It says, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. And Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. And tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So you notice they didn't just rush off to war. Moses told Joshua, you get ready to go fight, and I'm going to run to the top of this mountain with the staff of God in my hand. So the first thing he did when the enemy attacked was he ran to God. And that's what we need to do as soon as we're attacked. You know, we need to submit ourselves to God and run to God and tell him, I need your help. So we need to submit to God like we've been talking about. I was talking with somebody yesterday, and I was sharing James chapter 4 with him in verses 7 and 8. And when most people quote these verses, they just say, you know, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But they leave off the most important part. In verse 7, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, if we don't submit to God, you know, you can resist the devil all you want without submitting to God. And you won't win. Without God on your side, you know, we're no opponent for the devil. That's why God goes on in verse 8. He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That reminds me, you know, of a little kid. We call it stranger danger. You know, what do they do when they think somebody's out to get them? You know, the safest thing for them to do is run to one of their parents. You know, they run to their father, or they run to their mom, and that's where they're safe. They run to God. They submit to their parents because they know if I run to mommy or daddy, that I'm safe there. And we got to have that mindset too. You know, God is our father. He will protect you. But we got to do the last part of verse 8. You know, it says to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts and not be double-minded. So like we started off with, you know, we can't live like the world and expect God's help. We have to be submitted to God. We have to be surrendered to God so that when the enemy comes, we can run to God. Just like Moses did there in verse 9 of Exodus 17. We have to do that. We have to stay submitted to God so that we are under his authority. You know, I love the word kingdom because that means he has a domain. As long as we're in God's kingdom, he is our king. And a king protects his subjects. So long as I'm in God's kingdom under his authority, then it's his duty to protect me. But if I step outside his domain and I start living life my way, then I take myself out of God's protection. I take myself out of the things I need the most when I'm going through a hard time. So it's important to stay submitted to God. If we go back to Exodus 17, if we keep on reading in verses 10 and 11, so Moses went up to the top of the mountain to be with God and hold up the rod of God. And it says, so Joshua did what Moses told him to do. You know, he commanded him to go fight, and he fought with the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses and Aaron and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. And as long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. And I like that. You know, we have to declare our faith over whatever we're facing, you know. Not post how bad things are on Facebook, but we need to be talking about how grateful and thankful we are to God that he's going to get me through this. I like what Josh said Sunday about the Declaration of Independence. You know, we put it in writing. We declared freedom, and then we went and fought for it. And the reason I like that is because everybody knew Moses' staff. You know, they started calling it the Rod of God. So everybody knew what that thing he was holding up was. The enemies knew what it was, and the Israelites knew what it was. They knew it was the rod of God, and when he held that up, it was for the enemy to see that you're not just fighting us, you're fighting against our God. And he was holding it up for the Israelites to see too. I'm sure they got a lot of encouragement when they looked up and saw that, because they knew that's a reminder that God is in this with us and we won't be defeated. You know, it gave them courage and strength. That's how our faith should be. You know, we should lift it up and praise in the middle of our storms, in the middle of our battles. You know, for the enemy to see, but to encourage each other too. Not how bad things are, but how good and faithful and powerful God is. It shouldn't matter what our circumstances are. That don't change who he is. And then at the end of verse 11, it says when Moses dropped his hands, you know, the enemy would prevail or gain advantage. But that's what happens to us too. You know, if we're in the middle of a storm and we do like Peter did when he was trying to walk on the water, when we get our eyes off of Jesus and onto the waves, then we're going to start sinking just like he did. And when we stop praising God in the middle of a battle, that's just giving the enemy what he wants. And all he wants, like we read in John 10:10 all the time, all he wants is to steal and kill and destroy. That's his whole purpose. He just wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything in our lives. Just like the Amalekites in this story are trying to do to the Israelites. But just like them, you know, as long as we're praising God in the battle, and as long as we're submitted to God, like we read in James, the enemy can't prevail. You know, if God is with us, you know, what does it say in Romans chapter 8? Who can be against us? But when we stop praising God or step out of his kingdom, like I said a minute ago, then we don't have his protection anymore. You know, we're fighting on our own, and we can't do that. We got to stay connected to God to see the results that only God can bring. You know, when we start taking back the reins and handling things ourselves, we give the enemy that advantage that he needs, that he wants us to give him. You know, we give him back the ability to harm us. As long as we're under God's protection, he can't do anything to us that God don't allow. Because without God's protection, you know, we're just helpless against the enemy. I like it in John 15:5. I share this with you a lot too. We have to stay connected to the vine. Because Jesus says at the end of that verse, without me, you can do nothing. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. And he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. So without God, we're not going to win our battles. The last thing I want to share out of this tonight, out of Exodus, in verses 12 and 13. It says, and Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. And they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. And as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. So no matter what that showed me is, no matter how long you've been in your faith, you know, Moses was the leader of the people. He was God's own man. And they really looked up to him. But he got weak. And he couldn't hold his hands up anymore. So no matter how long you've been in your faith, you're going to have days when you feel weak. You know, maybe not physically, but spiritually. We all have those. I have them. Josh shared Sunday that he has them. There's nobody that don't have those. And that don't make you a bad Christian. That just makes you human, you know. A lot of times, I can speak for myself. You'll go through seasons when you actually have more bad days than you have good days. Sometimes you just have a season that you feel off and you don't feel as spiritual as you need to feel. You know, like I said, that don't make you ungodly. That makes you human. And to me, that's what's so beautiful about the body of Christ. You know, and before you start thinking that nobody's ever there for me, you know, I don't want to hear about the body of Christ. People don't show up when I need help. Then, you know, you need to ask yourself, are you in the body of Christ? Because I see it all the time here. I told you last week, when people present a problem here at the church, I see people coming from all directions wanting to help them. I've never seen anybody ask for help and not receive it here. So if you're thinking nobody's ever there for me, then you need to ask yourself, are you in the body of Christ? Not, are you saved? That's not the question. My question is, are you actually doing life with other believers? Are you surrounding yourself with godly people? You know, are you actively participating in the church with the church family of believers? Or are you staying isolated and separated from the body of Christ and just expect people to come and help you when life don't go good? You know, that's not how God designed it. We're supposed to be a family. We're supposed to be the body of Christ. You know, as long as we belong to the body, if you read through the book of Ephesians, it talks about how the body heals itself. If one member's hurting, the rest of the members rush to it and help it. But if you're not part of the body, then, you know, you're doing that to yourself. The body does take care of its own, and so does the church family. So you need to ask yourself, you know, if nobody's ever there for you, are you ever there for them to be there for you? I did a whole message on that. It's called Getting in Position. You can look that up online if you want to. If you're experiencing that in your life, you know, things just ain't working out. That was last year. It was in 2021. I think it was at the end of April or maybe the 1st of May. But you can find it online if you just scroll through the messages. The title of that is Getting in Position. But that's a good message to watch if you just don't feel like God's blessings or God's promises are real. There's a reason for that. But God designed us to be together, to help one another. Like we talked about, we're ambassadors. We beg you in Christ's stead to come back to God. Christ is sitting on the right hand of the Father. You know, God helps his people through his people. You know, if you're in the body of Christ, you will get the help you need. Ecclesiastes, I like that. In Ecclesiastes 4, he talks about power in sticking together. It says, starting in verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls. So if you're isolating, that's God's words telling you. You know, that's not good if you're alone when you fall. Or you don't have anybody to help you up. And if we keep on going, it says again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevails against you, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's talking about strength in numbers. You know, we're stronger together. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to active love and good works. You can't do that by yourself. You got to have each other around to motivate one another. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And I believe it is drawing near. You know, we say all the time that isolating, it's just not good for us. You know, if you're depressed, you can't cheer yourself up. We say that all the time. A depressed person can't cheer up a depressed person. You know, you can't comfort yourself if you're hurting. You can't calm yourself down. You can't guide yourself. But God can, you know, get with his people. seek God. That's what the Bible says, seek God. And you will see him knock, and it will be answered to you. So if you want to see the power of God in your life, you have to be part of what God's doing. You know, God's people can help you if you're in the flock. So if things aren't working out for you, you know, take a good look at your situation. Is God in your situation? If he's not, get with God and pray to him and bring him to him and tell him, I need help. Submit yourself to God like we've been talking about and get connected to the vine and get in the body of Christ. You know, get surrounded by God and not your circumstances. And it's not hard to do. I mean, all you need is some phone numbers, get to know some people, and you'll have a community around you that you can call no matter what you're going through. So surround yourself with God and not your circumstances. I like the way it puts it in Proverbs 18 and verse 10. It says, and let us not, no, not that one. We just read that one. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. I really like that verse. So if you run into a hard time or you get surprised by something you weren't expecting, it says, run into the name of the Lord. That's your safe place. Just like we was talking about stranger danger. Run to your Father. His name is Jesus. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. So, when the enemy does attack us, and he will attack you, first thing we stop. Then the next thing, we submit to God. We get God in our situation. Then we trust God. And whatever he tells us to do, we obey him. And in obeying him, in the middle of our storm, we praise him. You know, we get in the flock. We get connected to the vine and surround ourselves with God and with his people. You know, if you're in the Bible, in the battle, fight it with the army of God, not by yourself. The Bible says Jesus is the commander in chief. You know, he commands heaven's armies. So you'll have all that on your side if you just keep God in your story. Quit trying to fight things on our own. I learned the hard way that that just makes matters worse. And it never works out right. There is a way to go through hard times and do it in a godly way. I want to go back to these two verses in Exodus 14 to close with. In Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So when you're in the battle, just stand firm in your faith and trust God and stay calm, like we talked about earlier. Stay calm and God will fight for you, and you will bring glory to God as, you know, as others watch God work in your life. It brings glory to God when people see what he's doing to help you through your situations. It lets them know, hey, he is real. He does exist. And he'll do the same thing for me. It brings others to Christ when we allow God to help us through our problems. So that's what God laid on my heart this week. I hope that really helped somebody. I needed that stuff when I first came to Christ because I had so many problems I didn't know what to do with. But like I said, God would show me these little things, and I just started obeying those. And step by step, he'll get you through your problems. And if you got something that just pops up and surprises you, he'll help you through those too. Just stop for a second when it happens and get God in it. Don't rush off and try to handle it yourself, because a lot of times that's what we wind up doing. But as always, none of this means a thing to you if you're not surrendered to Christ. Like I said, we have to be in the kingdom of God to be under his authority. So if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, I'd like to give you that opportunity. And it's not hard to do. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you want to invite God into your life, if you need God's help, he's always there. We just read that. All you have to do is call out to him, ask him to come into your life, and he will. And if you've made that choice tonight, I ask you to just let somebody else know. God says, or his word says, with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Let somebody know. Tell them, I've surrendered my life to Christ, and he is now the Lord of my life. And you will be saved, the Bible says. In verse 13, I always want to say this too. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It don't matter about your past. It don't matter. You may think you've done too much and God can't save you. That's why I always read Romans 5:8 too. It says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God commended his love towards us. It says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Don't listen to people if they're telling you need to get cleaned up or you have to stop this or stop that to come to Christ. That's not the way it works. We come to him as we are, and he does the work in us. God will clean us up. So even if you think you're unworthy and God won't have anything to do with you, that's a lie from Satan. God loves you. His word said he loves you, and he don't reject anybody. So if you want to give your life to Christ, it's that simple. And I hope you do that. And if you have given your life to Christ and you want somebody to talk to, we'd be more than glad to talk to you here at the church. You can come by here and talk to somebody, or you can call and set up an appointment, and somebody would be glad to meet with you and talk to you and help you out, point you in the right direction to start your new life in Christ. But that's all I've got for tonight. Thank you all for coming out if you're here in person, and thank you for tuning in if you're watching online. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for tonight's message. It was a good reminder for me in my own life, Lord, to not try to face things on my own, and invite others into my situation too, Lord, and not just pray about them, but get your people involved, because you do help us through one another. And God, I just pray that you'd help us to remember these things when we do go into hard situations, Lord, or things pop up that we weren't expecting. Please help us to run to you, God, and not just react out of our own emotions. Lord, I just pray again for all those that are at home and sick. I just pray that you'd be with them, comfort them, help them to heal quickly, Lord, so they can get back to their lives. And Lord, I just ask that you would get us all home safely. And we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory for all things. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.